Okay, here we are. This is the 8th of November, Or L'Chof, Mar Cheshvan, if I'm not mistaken. And I promised a little bit of text, more text-based this time, so therefore we have some copies. It's always fun to do some classic learning from Rav Shimon Shkup and Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, and that's what I'd like to do tonight. So, for starters, just want to point out that when you learn these sugyas, machlokas, yish l'midas, is yish, is not yish, and then the Gemara starts bringing proofs. So there's a premise in the proofs, which the Magid Mishnah, in his commentary on the Rambam, actually highlights. And that is as follows. In the 14th parak of Hilchos Gzeilo Aveda, in Halacha He, the Rambam writes as follows. Yiyu shalom midas. Afilu b'davar she'ein bo simen. He doesn't know about it. It's yish, unknown. Unknown yish. Even with, when it's something that doesn't have a simen. In other words, when it's something that has a simen, everybody agrees. There's no yish shalom midas. If he happens to give up later, we assume there was a mikra. But yish shalom midas, even if it's something that doesn't have a simen, ain't no yish. It's not yish. As we pass, like a baye. Even though the item has no simen on it, and you could sort of predict that he's going to be miyash, still, he doesn't know about it yet. No good. Keitzad. Nafal b'men adinah v'lo yodavo. He dropped some money, he didn't know about it. Shenafal, that it fell. Alfa p'ilu shekisha yeda bo shenafal yisiyayish. Even though when he will know, he will give up. Reza eno yush. Ata. It's not yush now. Ad sheyeda balam shenafal. Until he actually knows. Avalim adayin abaylam omrim abaylam. The baylam still say. It's ubiquitous. Always plural. Shemana sativ leploni. He can't find it. Maybe I gave it to somebody. Oshema b'migdalhu. I put it away in a chest somewhere. B'migdalhu munach. Oshema te'isi b'cheshban. I miscalculated. Never had. You know. Ukayotze b'dvar melu. Ein zayish. He still doesn't realize he lost it and it's hopeless. He thinks he just made a mistake. It's not yish. Okay, so the Rambam says we paskin like Abaye. Says the Magid Mishnah on the side, Pasak Abaye, Pasakin like Abaye, the Hachin Ifsa Kilchasa Behadja Begemara. There's no easier way to decide what the halacha is than when the Gemara itself says, and you'll see that in another blot. The Gemara says, we Pasakin like Abaye. Vida, you should know. Shehanira min hasugyahi, it appears from the Sugyah, Shekolda Rashiyesh Lochush. Any case where you just can be concerned, not that you know for sure, but you just have to be concerned. You're not sure if they knew about it or not. In other words, not that we affirmatively know that he hasn't discovered it yet. It's just if he might not have discovered it yet. You have to be concerned. Did he know or not? It's forbidden. Out of doubt. Let's go to the first. Paris is, you know, Kimta, that's sort of an atypical case, but the first sort of classic case in the Mishnah that we cite as a proof, scattered money. V'akshinan alei da Abaye, we ask, Abaye, you say yish shalom midas is not yish, why am I allowed to keep the money? V'parkinan adam osu l'mashmish b'kiso b'chol sha. We answer no, because people check their wallets all the time. Alma mistama b'davar she'ein litlos osur. Apparently, you would conclude from that in the Gemara, and actually from many other things, that as long as you don't know for certain that he knows about it, it's forbidden. It's not that you, it's not the other way. The ilav, or if not, my kushia, my peruka. If not, what was the question? Most mefuzaris, but he doesn't know. How do you know he doesn't know? Apparently just the concern that maybe he doesn't know is sufficient. Same with all the cases, all those questions that we ask. Zeh nirah li v'chol ha-sugya mochachas kein. It appears to me to be correct, and the whole sugya indicates that. So it's really suffix. Suffix is enough to make it forbidden. So this comes up in the first parak in the Shari Yosha, the first parak of Shar Hay in the Shari Yosha, which is a classic piece of thought from Rav Shimon Shkup. And we can do whatever we want here. So I decided it'd be nice to learn it through. It's a worthy piece in its own right, and it leads into this. So I thought it'd be nice if we learned it through a little bit here. So the Shari Yosha is usually published in two volumes. This is the beginning of the second volume. But if you're using a Bar Ilan key, it's whatever. however you print. Anyway, says Reb Shimon Shkob, Naktina de Suffolk Mamon Lakula. We work with the principle that Suffolk Mamon Lakula. If there's a doubt as to whether you owe money, you're lenient. You don't have to pay it out. Mine doesn't have the source. So this one has Chulin Kuflam Medalid. There's a number of places in Shas where the Gemara says, for the Isser aspect, we're strict.
Because it's a Rabbanim?
That's the big question. That's exactly the big question. Mm-hmm. But you know, if it's a question of something kosher or non-kosher, and it's a question of a Daraisa, you have to be strict. Mm-hmm. But it's not a question of whether I owe you money or not. If there's doubt, I keep the money. So that's exactly the question.
I'm sorry. Stop you. Why would you say Suffolk Mamon Lakula? There's no issue of Kula and Chumra here, because with Kula, from one guy's a Chumra for the other guy. Mm-hmm.
So you'll see the first source that he cites tries to make that case, and he'll show you that the Achronim have a disproof of that. And you're saying, what do you mean, no Kula and Chumra? There's something in life where one man's Kula literally is another man's Chumra, but we'll see. They apply it even where that's not the case. So, but the first source is actually going to try to make that case, but
why doesn't he just, I mean, you just invoke that whoever has the money has the upper hand. You have to bring proof to say it's not.
But why?
Because ain't suffered most of the chazaka.
Huh?
He's saying ain't suffered most of the chazaka. The guy's
what he's going to ask is, keeping or taking money that's not yours is theft.
Right.
Theft is an issur d'oraisa. So when you have a doubt, I'm not sure if I owe you money or not. There's a question of halacha. Why don't we say in every case of suffolk, well, Steinberg, if you owe him money, you may be stealing, so pay him. And all over, in all of Choshen Mishra, that's not the way it works. The question is why. So that's exactly what he asks here. V'roi Levayer, it's appropriate for us to explain. Lamani Gara Iser Gezel Mishari Surim. Why is the prohibition of theft less than any other prohibition? Ukamod Kaimel and the Kol Iser Torah L'chumra. And you have a question about the Torah, you're strict. Ukvar Amdu Al Zeh Harbe Gedolei Ha'achronim. Many of the great Achronim have analyzed this. The Harishon Sheheyer Mizehu Rabbi Chil Basson, the Mahari Basson, his Chuvas, it's an early Achron. The Huzal Heshev Alzeh, he responded, this is exactly what Eitan said, Al Kolponim Yubazeh Sofek Gezel. Al Kolpon, regardless, one way or other, you're going to have a question. Dim Nachmir Al Hanitva Yiyu Sofek Gezel Biyad HaToveh. If you're going to be strict on the one who's being sued, pay. We're not sure, you might owe it to pay. All right, so now the guy who collects might be in violation of those things. Well, it seems like a reasonable, it's an inevitable issue. But v'chol ha'achronim hisigo al teretz. All ha'achronim say it's not true. The harei, basically they're going to show that there are cases where it's not so. The harei b'bari v'shema, lekach shash iser etzel ha'toveh. If I know I'm right, if I know this meat is kosher, this kosher supervisor says, no, he didn't see, but I saw. So I'm allowed, I know it's kosher. So when it comes to Isser, there's no suffix there. So with the Bari Vashema, I know I'm right and you're not sure. So the judges have to judge it. Lekach shash Isser, there's no concern of Isser. Degam v'suffik Isser mahani bar. Even when it comes to, when he's using the word Isser, he means regular prohibitions in the Torah. I don't know if this is shatnez, I don't know if this is non-kosher, whatever it might be. If you're sure, doesn't matter what anybody else knows, doesn't matter what the Beis Din knows, if you know it's permissible, maybe with rare exception, but basically that's the halacha. And I believe what he means is, and yet, if there was some suffolk in the din, we would still apply suffolk mamon lakula, but why? It's not a two-way street there. We don't follow a rove. If somebody has the money, you don't use a rove, which is a regular operative rule in elsewhere in halacha, to take away from the guy who currently has possession. That would work for Isser, yet not here. But I'll apologize. One of the things that happens when I take from the Barilan key to Microsoft Word is the period gets moved from the end of the line to the beginning of the line. So you'll see consistently. I haven't figured out how to fix that. But anyway, don't get confused. Demabakach, what's the difference? Dalkoponim kol echad yochush la'atzmo. He says, anyway, what does that mean? What does the Marivason mean? Supposing that would be true. If we err in my favor, so then I might be stealing from you. If we err in your favor, then you're stealing from me. But if it's really a suffic isser, I might be stealing, you might be, we should both be strict, or the Bezdin should somehow work it out. What do you mean? It like becomes this Chozer Chalila, this vacillate, like mm-hmm. it's like...
Never-ending circle.
Right, so what do you do in that case? Kol echad yachush la'atzmav, aroi degam bezin lo yonichu kach, ad shi yisratzu shnei ba'al. So they should make some kind of compromise. Can we both agree? Look, this is an impossible scenario. I have an isser on me, I may be stealing from you, you have an isser on you. Let's both agree. You should have to, like, arbitrate. You have to come to some compromise, but not just... Yeah, right, yeah, something. But not just to say, therefore, suffic l'kulo. So he doesn't like that answer.
So is that like that fundamental idea of like simchas when he says that you just like suspend it?
That's too complicated. related though. I think he gets into it later in the shahr. Up to the bay is here now. Ubesefer urim betumim. That's Rabbi Yonasan. I wish it's simin chavhei. We kitzur talk for coin. Kasav is elishon. Avol beemes akushim mikaralas. So Rabbi Yonasan says a question. Fangsach nishdan. You say that? Doesn't start. Doesn't start. The question doesn't start from the beginning.
It's a new one.
Huh?
It's a new one.
Like using a sentence 5 times a night for extra credit. Kikachaya mitzvah v'halav shelo sigzo hainu gezel vaday. This is a similar concept. There's a famous discussion. The Rambam holds there's a Torah mitzvah to obey rabbinic law. Right? Positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah in Parsha Shoftim. Whatever the rabbis say, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to follow. Right? All the Rishonim ask the question. The first shorish of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam and the Ramban are discussing, why do I have to follow rabbinic law? I know the Torah was given out of Sinai, but why do I have to listen to rabbinic law? So the Ramban has a different sheet than this, which really the Rambam would need for some aspects anyway. But the Rambam holds, it's a Torah mitzvah to listen to rabbinic law. So right away the Ramban says, well, if that's the case, why are we more lenient with rabbinic law than Torah law? Every rabbinic mitzvah is a Torah mitzvah. I have to listen to the rabbis because the Torah said so. Violating rabbinic law or a suffic in rabbinic law, so they become equal. So there are a number of different approaches. One is, yeah, there was a built-in leniency. The Torah says you have to follow rabbinic law, but in rabbinic law, when there's a doubt, part of the law is you should be lenient. Suffic derabbanan l'kula is built. It's not from the outside; it's built into the system. So he presents a similar idea here. He wants to say, that's the way the Yisr of Lo Sigzal is. It's Gezel Vadai. You're not allowed to steal for sure, certain theft. But if any case where it's doubt, you don't know, that's not included in the prohibition. Avo Gezel Safek, in the second line of Beis now, when it's a Safek, Imu B'yadcha, if you already have it. Enkan Yisr Gezel. There's no Yisr. Dekach Halacha Nimram, Hamotzi Mechavel Avaraya. That's it. You have to prove. Whoever has it can hold on to it. The prohibition of Lo Sigzal was said with this condition. Mm-hmm. Do not do this in a case where you're certain. But if you're not certain, it's not included in this prohibition. We have certain other prohibitions, a number of them, where it's only when it's for sure, not when it's doubt. You don't even have to be strict. No problem. Okay, Akan Lashana, that's Rabbi Yonasan Ayrshitz. Says Rabbi Shimon Shkap here in the fifth line of Beis, V'gam dvar v'akadosha meinam nestavrim beinai. His words are also not logical to me. Darei kol hecha shematzinim b'shas eza chidush l'hokol b'sveikos. He says, you're right. There are certain areas of halacha, there are certain mitzvahs where we're lenient in the case of doubt, but there's a very clear source for each one of them. Gilu lanu al zem makor min ha-Torah. They revealed to us there's a source for that. The b'mamzer darshu mi yisur mamzer vada v'lo misay. It's derived from an extra word. Kahol vada v'lo safek. Lo yavu v'kol. U'b'maiser asiri vada v'lo asiri safek. They actually have drashos. They have derivations from the Torah to teach us that. U'b'savek toma b'rishas harab mehilchus ha-gemiri la. That means it's halacha l'moshe mi Sinai to be lenient in that case. V'chein b'savek orla b'chutz la'aretz. There's no source in Shas that says it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai to be lenient. There's a pasuk to tell you to be lenient. There's nothing that says when it comes to Gezel, only if it's for sure, not if it's a suffix. Ulehepach, Shimon says, I'll even give you a little bit of proof to the contrary. Amru b'gemar resh parak apara, in the parak of Shosh HaNagach, What happens is the Gemara says, where does this rule come from? We all know a rule, Hamotzi Mechavel Haraya. If you want to sue your friend, you have the burden of proof is upon you. He has the money, you're trying to extract it, you have to prove. I don't remember the whole Gemara, but the first Mandamar gives a Pasuk. Mi Bal Dvarim Yigash Aleim. The first one says he has a Pasuk. And then the next Mandamar, maybe it's Ravina, I forget, says, you don't need a Pasuk, it's a Svara. You don't need any sources for it. It's obvious. Logic dictates that. So the Gemara says, "Ein sarach kra de svarahu de koyv le koyva azal le be'asya." Person has a pain, you go to the doctor. You have a problem. It's your issue. It's a simple svara. Hamotzim yachaver al haraya. Vim haya be'inyan zesh al safek gezel eza chiddush halacha. All over Shas, we only say something is a svara if all of the rules are intuitive and logical. But if there's some aspect to it that's novel, that's not the way things usually work, the Gemara will say, oh, we need the Pasuk to teach me that aspect. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara is satisfied with, you don't need a Pasuk, it's a Svara. So that indicates that there is nothing novel about Amotzi Mechavel Haraya. So he says, Havale La'ashas Lomar Dal Zem Megal Akra Demi Bal Dvar Mi Gashalem. You should say, no, the reason why you need a Pasuk is because there's something new about it. Ela Nirlani Estaiti Barum, the last three lines of those bays. The Ein Shum Chiddush Belav De Lo Sigzal. There's nothing new about Lo Sigzal. Any Isser in the Torah, you have a Suffolk, you have to be strict. Lo Sigzal also. Suffolk, you have to be strict. Usfeko Aser Kachol Suffolk Isser Torah. Just like any other halach in the Torah. Very Matzino Chiyev Latzitzide Shmayim Gamba Suffolk Gezel. Actually, there is an obligation when you have a doubt with Gezel. Sometimes we have an halach of Latzitzide Shmayim. It's not actionable. I can't sue you for it. But if you want to do the right thing, so lefima dekaimel dehechadav tovei toin bari vanitva shema chayiv balatzis de shemayim. He says for sure. I say maybe. So latzis de shemayim. I'm supposed to pay as if in baba kama. Gimel. Avol heitiv asher kosav bazeh b'sefer kuntres hasvekas klal alav simin vav. Kuntres hasvekas is the brother of the ktsos hachoshen. He used to call him Ktsos and he used to call him Kuntres. It's a nice, happy show. Anyway, Kuntres Sveikas is a classic Sefer, and Reb Shimon here quotes him. He says, he basically says it in a way that Reb Shimon likes it. Avalo Beir Kol HaInyan Karoi. He didn't explain the whole thing, Reb Shimon calls it properly. He fuses two different Pshatim together, and Reb Shimon can't figure out why. But the main one is the one he likes. The Zelashon Hashem, V'Yeroeli. It appears to me the peruka de haimil sakachu. The answer to this question is as follows. Again, we're dealing with why is suffik mamon lakula? It should be a suffik gezel, and gezel is an issue d'arais. It should be like everything else. We have to be strict. Here's the answer: shelo asra haTorah es a gezel ela mashu shel chaveru mitzad hadin. The Torah only forbade gezel what belongs to your friend mitzad hadin from some pre-existing system called din. What is rightfully yours in the realm of din, I am then not allowed to take. That would be lo sigzal. Al mashu shalom mitzad din lo asarta lo v'tara. Torah never forbade that. V'hilkach safek mama. Any case of a debt of money. Shad din bo hamotzi mechavel haraya. When you have a debt, this may Bobby made is what you meant. The din is, and we'll have to elaborate on this. But if the din is that in a case of doubt, you're the muchzuk, you have the money, the burden of proof is upon me, so therefore you keep it, there is no lo sigzal. Once the din says you have the right to keep it, in that case, lo sigzal doesn't start. Fangzach nishtam.
It's two.
There you go. Shadir ozor, gam drawer di sul is the lespa. There's not even the beginning, no vestige of iser, kisha'ina machzir if you don't return it. And now he's still quoting the Kuntres HaSveikas. V'gam ha'urim v'tumim kosav me'ein zeh da'atora lo asra elevada gezel v'heve kasir v'ade lo asir safek. Then the Kuntres HaSveikas throws in, and Rabbi Yonasan Ivershit said, it's only when it's for sure, not when it's a safek. You'll see in a moment, Rabbi Shimon says, those are two different things. He's not sure why he's putting the two together. But his main vart, his main way of explaining it, is, seems to be there's some kind of thing called din, and theft only begins after that's determined. So let's see what he means. Here's the classic piece from Reb Shimon of his Dalit. Ubeir inyan zehu lanias daiti. The explanation of this, I believe, al piak dama klolis, is with a basic premise. Reb Shimon has certain like yesodos. Certain, and this is one of them, this is a famous thing, is what he calls dinim mishpatim. The whole dina hamishpatim shal dini mamonos beinishl rei, all of the system of mishpat and monetary law between man and his fellow, einam kederach kol mitzvos haTorah. They are not like all other mitzvos in the Torah. De b'chol haMitzvos humash ezir lanu haTorah baaseh v'lo saaseh. What do I have to do? What do I have to not do? It's what the Torah, there's a commandment, do this, commandment, don't do that. And that's where it starts, that's where it ends. Chiyuv kiyumam aleinu hu ha'ikr l'kayim mitzvos Hashem. My obligation is to do what Hashem commanded. V'dini mamonos eino kein. When it comes to dini mamonos, it's not so. De kodem shechal aleinu mitzvos Hashem l'shalem ol l'hashiv. So it may be true, if I owe you money, that's also a whole discussion. Let's say, if I damage you, where does that obligation come from to pay? That's also machlokas, famous discussion. But whatever it is, all of choshen mishpat, all of monetary law. So certainly I have a mitzvah to pay up, to return things, and so on. Tzarech sheyukdam aleinu chiyuv mishpati. There has to first be upon us a mishpat law. Here's a nice little proof. Dare afim katan hu ha-gozel de'enu bar mitzvos. Mikol makom muta al bezdin lahatzel oshuk miyad oshka lakofes akotin lahatzel achevitz agozel abalav. If a child stole, bezdin has the command, give it back, bring about justice. The child's not obligating mitzvos. It's not lo sigzel, it's not beheshev es agzela that's mandating that we get that money return that the 11-year-old stole. It's a system of justice. It's dinim mishpatim. And bezdin is supposed to do that even where the person whom they're coaxing and coercing is not chayev in mitzvos, because it doesn't start with the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. It starts with mishpat, justice. Ve'od klal ikari bazeh, turn the page. The staple's on the wrong side, but de'hecha she'anu donim al eza z'chus v'kinyin she'odim be'eza chayvitz v'shibud mamam, when we're trying to analyze what right or acquisition a person has in an object or a lien or whatever, You don't start saying, well, what would the mitzvah say? What would Lo Sigzol say about this? That's not the way to look at it. Lo Sigzol doesn't start. First you work in the realm of mishpat. You work out the mishpat, and then that's when Lo Sigzol starts. Ela inyan mitzius, l'mi kanei dover. It's like a reality. Who owns it? According to what he's calling Toras HaMishpatim. It's like something outside of the Torah, it's before the mitzvahs of the Torah. What does Torah HaMishpatim say? So when you find that there are rules of how to operate when there's doubts, it came from their judgment within the Torah HaMishpatim. I didn't know Sin Cain. He's going to give examples. Sveikos, so they're not used. Lo Sigzol doesn't come up. Mm-hmm. Lo Sigzol doesn't come up when you're trying to figure out the answer to a suffix. So now, five lines from the bottom of that paragraph. Vehina alav shall iser gazel, who shall lo yigzel ishmei chaver, dover shall pitaras hamishpatim, who shall chaver. Lo Sigzol is, once the law has been worked out, the mishpat has been worked out, don't take from your friend what's rightfully his based on mishpat. Vehain lo yashok schar sochir, ma shall pia mishpat ataru chayv l'shalim. If you're obligated to pay your worker, which there can be cases where there's debate or there's doubt, and we work that out first, and then whatever the halacha is, then lo sigzol. Don't violate that. Ve'ech shayach ladun shiyochosh mi she'akev ha'mamon tachas yad al pi mishpat ha'tara lesar gezel im ha'mamon hu shalo al pi mishpat ha'tara eza isri gezel shibazet. Once that's the way it works, so then you can never say, well, don't keep that money, it might be lo sigzol. Whatever the halacha determines I'm allowed to keep isn't lo sigzol. The halav shalo sigzol hu lav kloli da'asar ligzol mishal chaver masha hu shalo. You're not allowed to steal. What's his? Beinai derusha, beinai zechiya shel mekach, matan vehefker. So notice, choshen mishpat happens first, and then lo sigzol happens. Mm-hmm. That's Rav Shimon's yisod, because dinim mishpatim. So he says in Osei, ulfiza nirlan yisai debara, the safik gezel osur mehatora kachol safik isur Torah. So in reality, there is no exception when it comes to theft. If you're not sure if this meat is kosher, there's safek issur d'oraisa. If you're not sure if what you're about to do is lo sigzol, there's also a safek issur d'oraisa. It doesn't come up too much. Look what he says. El de safek gezel hu davar rochuk min ha-metzius. it's very hard to find a case in reality which is a case of suffik gezel. The bechol suffik mamon haru lano chachamim eiza mishpat al pi toras mishpatim. All the cases of doubt in monetary law have been worked out, and whatever the halacha works out, that's the halacha. If you then violate that, that's not a suffik, that's a vadai. You know, what's the law in this case? It's a whole machlokas, but we end up paskening this way. Now, if I don't give back the money when I'm supposed to, I'm stealing, vadai, and if I do, I'm definitely not, and there's no room for doubt. So he gives one interesting example. Right? If you skip down a little drop, he says, "Suffik gezel hechad the lekab of the shum mishpat dini mamas kigon ligzol mi ishu suffik nachri suffik gesrul lemanda amr gezel nachri mutter." So we don't rule this way, but if you hold that it's permissible to steal from a nachri, which even according to that opinion has its limitations, but we don't pass it that way anyway. But if we would hold you're allowed to steal from a nachri, so then if there's a person who's a suffik nachri suffik gesrul, that's a case of suffik gezel. B'chai gavna yu suffik iser kachol yisurei Torah. B'chai gavna eino inyan klal adinei hamishpatim. That's not a case with this dinei hamishpatim. That's a metzias issue. I don't know if this is one of those cases where I can't steal or not. I elaborate on that a little bit. If you skip to the last sentence, last three lines of this paragraph, he says, what I just presented to you is what the Kuntras HaSveka said. But then in his last line, he said, and it's similar to the Tumim, who says that only Vadai Gezel is forbidden, not Safek Gezel. So Rav Shimon says, that's two different Shatim, and he's just demonstrated to us. Rav Shimon himself is saying, Suffolk Gezel, if you could find such a case, is forbidden, just like Suffolk and the other is. The lumdus here is not Suffolk Gezel, the lumdus here is that Dinim Mishpatim happened before. I guess he says, therefore, the fact that he fuses the two together, they're very far from each other. So he says, I'm not sure why he threw that in, because it's really a different trap. Now, this is sort of where he gets to our Gemara. So, if you look at Osvav, it does sound a little bit like Rionis and Ibishitz's pshat, that it's only when it's Vadai, not when it's Suffolk, from a Rashbam in Bava Basra. In most of Bava Basra, we don't have Rashi.
Rashbam?
Yeah, we have the Rashbam, his grandson, and Daf Chof Tes. It says Khan Mace Rashi. Sridi Hesh has a beautiful essay where he says, you know, you can argue where did Rashi pass away. I don't know if he gets into the details, but, you know, was it in Twa? Where's Rashi buried? It's a little bit of a debate. He said, but every yeshiva bacher knows where Rashi's buried. Rashi's buried in Daf Chof Tes and Bava Basra. That's where Rashi is. But anyway, so in the later parts, most of Bava Basra, you have the Rashbam, which is more at length than Rashi. The Bahadam Ridan Shamraf Papa Omar Idib Idib Chatzar Shutvim Vika the Kapi Vika the Lokav. We have a situation there where he's Madir Hanoa from his partner. The question is, can he bring his items into their shared Chatzar? The Gemara ends up saying, some people mind when you do that, some people don't mind. Is it like he's doing you a favor, or is it that something that you would allow anybody to do? And what's relevant to Bava Basra, if you know the whole parak there, Cheskas Abatim, the whole principle in that parak of Shas is that when it comes to proving that I've purchased real estate, after 3 years of my squatting on your land and your non-protest, even if I don't have the deed, that's considered a proof that you sold it to me.
It's adverse possession.
What's that?
Adverse possession.
Right, adverse possession for 3 years. So I lost the document. I don't have the writ of sale, but the fact that I've been there for 3 years and you didn't say anything proves that you admit that you sold it to me.
Is that because you don't have to hold the shtar for more than 3 years?
I mean, you want me to do the Cheskas Abatim right now? Every sugya there is trying to figure out why that is, and it's the lumdus. Yeah. Right, it's complicated, but that's the basic principle of of Cheskes Abatim, Cheskes Gimel Shonim. So we're dealing with two things. Is this so? You know, if I happen to walk across your lawn every day for 3 years, I can't come along when I say, "Oh, by the way, you sold me your house." Yeah, prove it. I walked across your lawn. You didn't say anything. It has to be an adverse. It has to be something that people really would normally be mocha to. So they're asking, is this the kind of thing that a person would protest or not? And is it the kind of thing that a person minds, and therefore allowing me to do it is like giving me a hano? So it's relevant to nedarim. I hope I'm getting the sugi right, but I think that's what happened there. It's relevant to a neder, which is iser, and it's relevant to possession, which is mama. Okay? And the Gemara ends up saying, it's a suffix. Some people mind, some people don't mind. So gabi mamona lakula, gabi isura lachumra. When it's a case of suffix, so for mammon, we have a rule, that's what we've been discussing this whole piece here. So for monetary law, we're lenient. And for iser, we're strict. So how would you explain that in the Gemara? The Mefarish, Rabbeinu Gershom, Bepshitas, and some of the stuff that Rabbeinu Gershom's commentary on the outer margin. So if you look in Rabbeinu Gershom there in Bava Basra, gabi mammon lenin chazaka lakula. When it comes to mammon, meaning, can I claim that I own this land now? We go lakula, there's lean and basa de lo kapit, velo have chazaka. Some people mind, some people don't. The previous owner, who's probably the real owner, can say, I'm one of the people who doesn't mind, so don't think you can deduce that as a proof. The fact that you put your items on my lawn doesn't prove anything, because maybe I'm one of the people who doesn't mind, and therefore my lack of protest doesn't prove anything. Gabi yisura de neder lachumra, dasurim lichnos. But when it comes to a neder, some people do mind, so my allowing you to do it is benefiting you, so that is a hana. So when it comes to nether, would be strict. When it comes to mammon, would be lenient. What is mammon? That you can't assume possession. You can't assume that the owner should have minded. But for Rashbam, kosav bezeh aloshon. But the Rashbam takes it more than that. He writes, gabi mammon alinyan chazaka lekula, yesh lan alelech lahakav alomar she'ein shutfim makpidim zeh al zeh. Umutur lahamid zeh behamosav b'chotzer kol zman she'ein chavir ma'akev alav. I wonder, am I allowed to or not? Can I put my animals in your yard? Mammon, we can be lenient? Yes, I'm allowed to. If I'm asking a shaylak, may I put my animals in your yard? Some people do mind, some people don't. I'm allowed to assume that I may. Vahinu kula, that's the leniency. Shonu matiram lazeh, mistam alhamid shamba amosa, v'av pichla notal rishus mechavero. I never got your permission. Uveduchtach rinam rinam deshol shalomidas gazal have. You're not allowed to borrow without permission. So what right do I have to put? So the Rashbam goes out of his way to say it's not just with regard to chazaka, it's also that I'm allowed to put my stuff there. Because it's suffik mamona lakula. Okay? The hilka chalaga chazaka the halakapi. Says Rabbi Shimon Shkat, milashon ozem mashma the suffik gezel mutter. It sounds from this that suffik gezel is permissible. The misupik im chavero makbid eino choshish misufik gezel shoshol shalomidas. It's a suffik, I don't have to be concerned. Suffik gezel is permissible. So first he says, just in the sugya, you have to understand what made the Rashbam say that. You don't need that to explain the sugya. So he explains, Umashach richo, the Rashbam, the farish kain, demurtu lachatchila, ha'alo inlan rakatars, mishum ha'chila v'chazaka, mishum diyocha lomar, anah mehanach t'lo kapti anah. V'hilkach shasakti, v'hain chizkosko v'chazaka. Why not just say like the Rabbeinu Gershom? What it means is, the owner can say, I'm one of those people who doesn't mind, and therefore your chazaka is not a chazaka, as the Rashbam himself says later. Near the side to Silver Rashbam, I'm sorry, we're far afield of El Messias now, but Dimhaya also lachil haklis bamos misafik gezel, but chaikav the royal lachil. Basically, if I'm not allowed to do that, then he should have protested. They sort of go hand in hand. Alright, let's skip a little bit here. So in Oschez, he said it sounds like the Tumim, but he thinks this could also work with his way of explaining it, that it starts with Dinim Mishpatim. Let's skip the test. We're spending a lot of time on this. Ubazenis Yashavli Madakoshli Al Dirash Bamanal Mehoda Muchach Reish Elam Tzius. Getting back to Elam Tzius. The Besafek Yir Shalomidas Chayev Lahachzer. When you have a Safek Yir Shalomidas, Chayev Lahachzer. Right? What does it say in our Gemara? Matzah Maos Mefuzaros. I'm sorry, that's the other point. But if you have a doubt, you have to give it back. Right? If you don't know for sure that the guy knows, you have to return it. Right? That those are all the kashas we keep asking on.
Based on those kashas, those are not cases of yeish shelo medas. Those are cases of yeish vadai.
Why do you say that?
Because the guy knew about it, because he was mamash mishpikiso, and therefore he was miyash.
That's the answer. But
it leaves the realm of yeish shelo medas, right?
Right, but the question is presupposing if a case of ma'os mefuzaros would be a case where we don't know for sure that he knows already.
Then it'll be kashan abai. That's what it was a kashan abai.
Right. So, but the point is, there it's only a maybe. He might know, but he might not. And yet the halacha would, unless you can come with an answer and say, no, people check their wallets and we assume the halacha, he vadai knows. But if it's suffik, you have to give it back. That was going to be the kashan abai. Abai, how can you say yish lomi das? Is not yish. We see from here that it is. Even though it's only suffolk.
Right.
Our kashan abai was from something. We don't know for sure it's yish lomi. It's just maybe. And the Pnei Yeshua writes that. And the Chofei. This gets a little complicated. But the Bnei Yeshua says, why? Because we put it on the chazaka that he wasn't miyayish. Kemo delo iyayish miikara b'shas nefila mamish. Bnei Yeshua, you know, it's why. Why, in fact, in the case of suffolk, do you have to give it to him? So the Pnei Yeshua says, because you put it on the chazaka. What was the status till now? He wasn't miyayish. All along, he hasn't been miyayish from this chayfetz. So until you know otherwise, you go with the chazaka. The moment he dropped, he hadn't been miyayish, and I don't know exactly how much time has elapsed now, but I don't know, so I'll put it on the chazaka, which is a concept you have all over. Ksuba, many places, right? Put things on their chazaka. When you don't know, you go with the assumption till now. But says Rav Shimon Shkab, it doesn't make so much sense to me. That's what mikvos. If you had a mikvah that was the full measure, and you don't know when it went under the shizah, so people immersed in it, and now it's already less than the measure. So we have a rule called harechosel lefanecha. You can't say go with the chazaka when now it's less. You see things changed.
It's
reis
right. Same notion. Right?
It's a reis on the chazaka that now it right now it's not that way. It's less than arboim sa. If we're to assume that with a davar she'ein bo siman, the guy is miyayish. So by now he has been miyayish. So who says, he dropped his object, so who says that the chazaka should be? Well, because originally it wouldn't have been miyayish, so now also. The main question here is, when did he find out? If he found out, he'll for sure be miyayish. That's a subtle point, but it's not yish, it's whether he's aware of it. If he's aware, he's definitely miyayish. So he doesn't like the idea that you would put it on the chazaka. Well, since he wasn't miyayish originally, probably wasn't miyayish now. Uledaiti advarim pshutin, de besafik ika cheskas marakama. So it's not an assumption of the reality of the situation. It's an assumption of possession. There's a chazaka of whether he's miyayish or not means, in determining how you should, what you should assume happened in reality, well, it used to be a certain way, so I'll continue to assume it's that way. That would be yish. He wasn't miyash originally. Still, I assume he's still not miyash, but he doesn't like that. Here, it's a different principle. It's whose was it? There's a difference in the halacha between what we call a birur and let's say a hanhaga. A birur means when you're trying to determine the assumed reality. We don't know. Life is full of sveikas. I don't know. what the status was at a certain point of time. If it was a certain way, I'll assume it would continue to be that way. That's a chazak, that's a birur. We don't know if that's the real truth, but it's a means of assuming a certain truth. And then there are other things where it's just a halachic principle. It's not because it gives you a clue into the reality. It's just, this is the rule. Cheskas marakama means the one who had it before. So this is another thing we touched on. Does Yish take the object away from the owner and make it like Hefker? Or the Ketzos says no. V'shapir mokminin b'cheskas marakama. D'arei bailam rotzim b'cheskasim. The owner wants to own it. D'afim nisyashu hem yisyashu shelo b'mertzon. Nobody wants to lose their object. So he says there's a cheskas marakama. Avo b'sofek eino makbid. In the case in Baba Basra, it was a question as to whether the person minds or not. So there's a fundamental question whether altogether he wants this. But in our case, the assumption is the person does want it. He says when a person does want something, there's a cheskus marakama. But again, this all works with his assumption that you first look at the dinim mishpatim, and whatever that is, that precedes any other sveikus. It gets a little more nuanced and it continues there, but maybe we'll leave that piece for now. Just wanted to do one other thing. Once we're doing the Torah HaRosh Yeshiva, tonight, a little bit from the Birkas Shmuel. The Rambam throws a curveball at the beginning of in Perek Tes Vav of Hilchos Zeila Vaveda. If something was put derech hinuach, it was placed somewhere, or even Suffolk Hinuach, the Gemara says, don't pick it up. The simple read of the Gemara is, if it doesn't have a simon, you're really causing damage, because the guy put it there, he's probably coming back, now you take it, and he has no way of claiming it from you, and so he's going to lose it. And even if it has a simon, but what are you bothering him for? Now he has to go track you down. I put something down, I went to do some shopping, I was going to come back, it looks like I put it down. Don't take it, now I'm going to have to go tracking you down. See, something is, it looks like, even Suffolk Yenuch, it looks like maybe it was put there deliberately, you're not supposed to take it. So the Rambam says, V'im avar unatolo, asur lo lachzir l'sham. But if you did take it, you're not allowed to return it. V'im hayadavar she'ein bo simon, zachabo, ve'eino chayiv lachzira. But I picked up, something was put derech hinuach, or even suffolk. It looks like somebody put it down there deliberately. I wasn't supposed to pick it up, but I did. So if you did already, zachabo, ve'eino chayiv lachzira. You can keep it. Wow. I picked it up, there hadn't been yish. And now you tell me I'm allowed to keep it. The Ravid says, Amar Avram Davar Zayin HaMachuver Etzli. She is Gebo La'atzmo, La'olam. Elo Yamar B'yadad Shev Eliyo. Hold on to Eliyo, and Abi comes and tells you what to do with the object. My Rebbe Rav Kalman Epstein once told me that he heard this story from the Baal HaMaisa, that somebody asked the Chavetz Chaim how long he has to hold on to a metziah. He found something that one should have to return, and he had it for a long time. He asked the Chavetz Chaim, how long do I have to hold on to it? The Chavetz Chaim was an old man at the time, and he reached into a chest that was next to him, and he took out something that was in like wrapping paper. It was like some kind of little notebook or something. He took it out, and he said, Das hab ich gefunden für bar mitzvah. So, I don't know what to do with it. Why does the Rambam say you're allowed to keep it? So, not to go through the whole piece, but the Birkas Shmuel, he has a piece on this, Siman Chav Dalet. So he quotes the Rambam, he quotes the Ravid, in the last four lines of that first paragraph, he says, V'chein Tama Olav HaMagid Mishnah, V'chein HaRamban, V'harosh Cholkin. The Magid Mishnah doesn't understand the Rambam, and the Rambam and the Rosh disagree. The Rei Kodem Yish Baliyado came to his hand before Yish. That's what we're just talking about. Vim kein aser misafik shema hiyaderach inuach or ibali other kohen yeshu visiras the. Granted, if the guy actually dropped it, and maybe but if he put it down, so there hadn't been yesh yet, and I picked it up beisur that we've been learning the last few weeks, visiras the other, so how do you take position? So says Rebbech Rebbe Avayr by Zvus Hashem Zbarach Divrei Hagon Rabbeinu Eliyahu Beiruro Shekasa B'Sivan Kuf Nun Hei Sivkat Neches. So this is an amazing bekiyas in addition to everything else. The Harosh VaRambam LaTamayu Azli DeCholkin B'Dinei HaChokas Nizokin B'Safek Yibayas. There's some things in the Gemara where there's a suffik. The Gemara is not sure. The Gemara has a question and it's left unanswered whether a neighbor is allowed to do a certain thing that could impose damage to his neighbor. Are you allowed to do that or not? Could cause harm, it could not. There's a certain case there in the Gemara. The Harosh Mekil, uposik the Ein Tzarech L'Chachil L'Harchik, the Gemara has it as a doubt, so, and leaves it that way, so the Rosh is lenient. V'Harambam posik, but the Rambam rules, D'L'Chachil L'Aser Lo L'Smoch, V'im Avar V'Aser Ein Tzarech L'Harchik. He's not allowed to set up that scenario, which could potentially damage his neighbor, but if he did already, he can leave it. Doesn't have to undo it. So what does that mean? V'nira be'er dvar hakadoshim. So it says Rebbe Rachman. This is how to understand the Rambam. How to understand the Vilna Gaon explaining respectively the Rambam and the Rosh. Tehine gabe smichas hamazikin shani din halachachila midin sha'achas smichasa. He says, very interesting. There's a very big difference between a priori, before you do it, and after you do it. Even though it's a suffik and mamon, it's not just that if I damage you, I have to pay. It's also forbidden. So when it comes to me possibly damaging you, a priori, it's not just a monetary matter, do I owe you or not? Some things in business, people just, I'll harm your company and you'll sue me and we'll settle. But halacha doesn't work that way. Elagam le'inyan iser klapei shmaya. It's prohibited. It's klapei shmaya. It's to Hashem. To lahazak lechaver lechachila bershus shel chaver hu iser le'inyan onesh. That's forbidden. The punishment. Lo rak le'inyan tviya ela sheyachashav mazak klapei shmaya. It's considered like in shmaya. It's considered like he's damaging. Ve'al kein sover harambam decholuk. Hadin bein lasos lechachila bein achas shavar asa. That's why the Rambam holds it different. The lechachila have a iser Torah vazlin on lechumra. This sounds like not like Rav Shimon, but to do it lechachila is it you're dealing with iser and it's lechumra. Ula achas shavar va'asa va'atviyah he olav sheyachik. Now it's just can you sue me to undo it? It's no longer a question of my doing it lechachila. Now it's monetary law. Now it's choshen mishpat. So v'harosh cholik v'sover demekeven da suffik hu b'mamon azlinu l'kula gam v'tchilu mutu l'smoch. So the rush holds no mamon even l'chachila, which maybe is more like Rav Shimon's approach. But if it's mamon, even the l'chachila, there's no iser. I think we see Rav Shimon doesn't hold like Rav Shimon that it first starts with dinim mishpat. He holds it such a thing that it's iser to begin with also. So I don't want to go through how he deals with the rush. The rush, in the case that he's talking about, has to bring in something else. But does he get to our sugya? Yeah, so at the bottom, the last three lines. The Rambam mefarish svara mada besafek aveda machmarinan. So the Rambam would say the reason why by a suffek aveda machmar who mishum del chachila have is a isura. It's iser. Ubediavid mokminan lo becheskasa. But bediavid you put on chazaka damotze. Okay, the kaimel ba'am. Okay, as you find by Tokfa Cohen, in other places. The Rush who holds that in any case of mum. Whether l'chachila or b'di'evid is the kula. So in cases where he's strict, he has to come up with a different reason. That's what he goes on to explain. But that all the achronim go to town trying to explain this Rambam, why he says b'di'evid you can keep it. And Rebbe Rachman has to say he was only machmer l'chachila because of a suffik iser. But b'di'evid, once you have it, That's no longer relevant. So to keep it is mutter b'diavad. That's Rabbi Baruch Ber's approach. There's a long sivus about this, which maybe we can do another time. But I just want to mention, maybe to prepare for next week, and at least that the big discussion Yir Shalom Midas is how the Gemara can mix in a proof that has to do with Truma and Tuma. Mm-hmm. In other words, if Yir Shalom Midas, most of the proofs we're dealing with is somebody lost something, it would seem that he doesn't know about it yet, and we answer, no, he knows about it. Right? That's what most of the proofs are. And some are dealing with Yish. The other way, there seem to be proofs for Abaye. But eventually, the Gemara Chaf Beis, the Gemara talks about a case where somebody takes off Truma for someone else. And we don't know if the owner, we really wanted to give that benevolently. And we think, well, since later he made a statement that shows that he's happy with it, so that shows that he was happy with it at the time and it was a valid giving of Truma. And at the bottom of the Amud, going to Amud Beis, you have there's a halacha that fruit that becomes wet is now a makabel tum, but susceptible to being tamei, but only if the owner was pleased with the fact that it became wet. So by the time he expressed his pleasure at the fact that it became wet, it was already dry. So we say, yeah, but that probably means that we can assume that that means that he was happy at the time also. So these are supposed to be the same thing as Yir Shalom Midas. We only know what his attitude is later when he finds out about it, but since we know his attitude later, it's supposed to be a proof for... The problem is, but why is the Gemara comparing Truma and Tuma to Aveda? That's mm-hmm. what all the Achronim want to know, and maybe we'll get into a discussion of that next time, Rosh Hashem. Okay.